Okay, very good. Well, if you would turn your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And this past school year at Bob Jones Memorial Bible College, we did a series in chapel on the book of Philippians, and I preached just a few messages of that series. Other of our Bible faculty taught or preached. But this is one that I preached, these six verses. And out of all the messages that I preached from Philippians, again, just several out of many, this is the one that the Lord led me to preach on furlough to some of the churches that we go to, because it really emphasizes something not just about missions, but about our serving the Lord in general, whether it be evangelizing, discipling, serving the church, and I think this will be helpful to us. So let me begin by reading Philippians 2, 25 to 30. And this is the example primarily of Epaphroditus. Paul writes, starting in verse 25, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Let's pause to pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given to us your word, and you want to speak to us and renew our thinking and change us to be more into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have Christ and that he is in us by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would work in us, that this passage and these examples would become more and more a part of what we are. For your glory's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we went to a Subway, my wife and I, I preface this by saying I like Subway, and I will continue to like Subway, even though I'm going to tell you what happened last week. There was this lady was taking my order, and she was clearly irritated by this bell that was going off in the store. Periodically, when people would come in, or especially this one guy, he was standing on the threshold, coming in and out a little bit, so it was constantly going off. And I could tell she was irritated, not only because of the bell, I could tell she was irritated because she would ask me questions, I would answer, and then just like a few seconds later, she would ask me the same question. So she wasn't really listening to my answers. She was kind of distracted by other things. So, for example, she asked me two times whether I wanted my bread toasted or not. And three times I had to tell her what kind of sandwich I wanted. And three other times she asked me what size of sandwich I wanted. So I told her. I started off by telling my order, and then so she asked me three more times what size of sandwich I wanted. And of course, when somebody is irritated like that, and kind of expresses her irritation, then it had the effect upon me, I should say, confess, of my getting kind of irritated with her as well. But, Mila, she helped me by reminding me that everyone at any time has a backstory. There's something happening in their lives that we don't know about. and if we were, we had time to ask her and find out what's going on in her life, that would help us to understand why that person is acting the way they are. And if we were to ask the backstory, what was happening in the life of anybody, really, we would inevitably discover that that story is a story of need. Every person has needs, especially unsaved people, but even saved people. We all have needs, problems, difficulties, and discouragements and obstacles in our life. And the Christian response is not to focus on ourselves and our needs, but to sacrifice ourselves to meet the needs of others. Philippians 2, 25 to 30 contains this example of Epaphroditus. But not only does it have Epaphroditus' example, it also displays the example of Paul, who's writing. Thirdly, it also contains a description of God. And fourthly, a command of God and Paul to the Philippians. So you actually see four entities in these verses. And from these four entities, we're going to extract four truths, all of which show us what God honors. What does God honor? God honors those who sacrifice self to meet the needs of others. And that's our overall truth tonight from Philippians 2, 25 to 30. Sacrifice self to meet the needs of others. So we're going to look first at, instead of starting with Epaphroditus' example, we're going to look at the example of Paul. And from Paul's example, we see this truth. Truth number one, sacrifice self to meet the emotional need of others. Sacrifice self to meet the emotional needs of others. Again, in verse 25a, Paul wrote, I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. So why did Paul consider it necessary to send Epaphroditus to these Philippian believers? Because, verse 26, and verse 26 starts with the word for, or because, Epaphroditus longed after you, Philippian believers. He longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So Epaphroditus longed to see the Philippian believers, and was full of heaviness, meaning he was heavy-hearted because they had heard that he had gotten sick. Now, to understand that, I need to kind of give you a little bit of background. Number one, the Philippian believers had sent Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was there with Paul, but he came from the Philippians. If you look at verse 25, again, Paul calls Epaphroditus, my brother, companion, and fellow soldier, but your messenger. He was the Philippians' messenger. So Epaphroditus came from them. And there is evidence that they were his home church. If you look at chapter 4, verse 18, Paul writes, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So the Philippian believers had used Epaphroditus as a messenger to send Paul things, supplies, provisions, maybe money, to buy food, because Paul was in prison in Rome. You remember that. He's writing this book of Philippians from a prison in Rome. And in that day, even if Paul was under house arrest, kind of a lower level type of prison, he was still dependent upon others, family and friends, for food and probably other things. But at the very least, Paul is dependent upon other people for food. it wasn't given by the government. But secondly, in Epaphroditus fulfilling this mission that was given to him by the Philippians church, he had gotten sick. And not only sick, he had gotten deathbed sick. If you look at verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. So Epaphroditus nearly died. Now, let's take Market Manor Baptist Church as an example. Let's pick out somebody here. Who should I pick out? Let's pick out Rachel Potter. What if Market Manor Baptist Church decided, you know, that this church is going to help somebody, and somebody in need far away, and so we take an offering, and we're going to send Rachel to deliver that offering. But on the way to deliver this offering, she almost dies. How would you feel about that? I think as compassionate brothers and sisters in Christ, we would feel bad that we sent her on this mission that almost caused her to die and brought a lot of suffering and pain to her. So that is part of what is behind this. And not only did the Philippian church probably feel bad, probably Epaphroditus felt bad. Because Epaphroditus was now well, but as verse 26 says, he was heavy-hearted or distressed. And probably he was distressed or heavy-hearted because he felt bad that the Philippian church felt bad. Did you follow that? He felt bad that the Philippian church felt bad that they had sent him on a journey that almost killed him. So Epaphroditus wanted to show them personally that he is fine, he's recovered. So that's Epaphroditus' burden. And so Paul sends Epaphroditus back to them. Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully, and the word carefully there means eagerly. Paul is eager to send him to them, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice. So they did feel bad. There was something disturbed in their spirit, but when they would see actually with their own eyes that Epaphroditus is not just alive, but well, they would rejoice. And that I may be the less sorrowful. So evidently also Paul was sorrowful or concerned both about the Philippians feeling bad and Epaphroditus feeling bad that they felt bad. So Paul sends Epaphroditus back to resolve Epaphroditus' emotional need. And there's the point. Paul sends Epaphroditus back because Epaphroditus has an emotional need. And the Philippian believers had an emotional need to see him. And the point here for number one is to sacrifice self to meet the emotional need of others. This was a sacrifice of self for Paul. Because again, where was Paul? Paul was in prison. And verse 25b tells us that Epaphroditus, look at the very end of verse 25, was he that ministered to my wants, to my needs. Epaphroditus was meeting the needs of Paul. And verse 30 says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So Epaphroditus was there supplying what Paul needed. Now, I do want to say, at the just kind of as a tangent, at the end of verse 30, to supply your lack of service toward me really doesn't mean necessarily that the Philippians had failed. It doesn't mean that the Philippian church had failed to do what they should have done. Probably it just means that the Philippians could not. The Philippian church could not, as a whole, go to Rome and help Paul. So they sent Epaphroditus as their messenger. But the point is, that for Paul, to send Epaphroditus back to them was a sacrifice for him. He, in sending Epaphroditus back, he was alone again. And what about his other physical needs? So sacrifice self to meet the emotional need of others. Let's try to apply that first truth. And the first truth is the longest. Sacrifice self to meet the emotional need of others. You've probably learned that when we witness to somebody, if at all possible, before we witness to them, we want to try to establish rapport, right? Kind of build a bridge of friendship so that they know that we really love them, that we are, in reality, care about them. They're not just another number or another possible convert. They are somebody that we love and care for. And what is that but meeting their emotional need? Why do we visit people in a hospital when they are sick? Or why do we visit somebody if their loved one dies? Because we want to comfort them, we want to encourage them. They have an emotional need. Now, surely, that is not the ultimate end need that they have. They have a spiritual need. But a lot of times, if we're going to minister to people spiritually and their root spiritual need, they do have to know that we love them, that we're concerned about them, that we care for them. Showing friendliness to people. That's one of these areas of meeting somebody's emotional need so that we can meet their deeper spiritual need. When someone has a medical emergency or their loved one dies, you know, it is never at a convenient time. Or I in pastoring a church, we have had a number of people that have had sicknesses or a loved one dies, and it's always at a time that I have 20 more things I could be doing. So it does require a sacrifice of self to meet the emotional need of other people. And people all around us are sad or mad or bitter or fearful or discouraged or feel rejected. And we need to love people, care for them, so that we can point them to Jesus Christ. Sacrifice self to meet the emotional need of others. You may be a kind of person that's easy to do, sacrificing yourself to your people person. But some of us, and I include myself in that, I'm not naturally that way. But for all of us, we've got to sacrifice self to meet the emotional need of others. Number two, let's move to the example of Epaphroditus. From the example of Epaphroditus, we see this second truth. Sacrifice self for the work of Christ. Sacrifice self for the work of Christ. Verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Near to death. Obviously, he was sacrificing self. Why? Because of the work of Christ, for the work of Christ. Now, what was the work of Christ that Epaphroditus did? What was the work of Christ that Epaphroditus did? The clearest answer to that was that he was a messenger bringing physical provisions and was helping Paul's physical needs. I think there are other things, perhaps, that Epaphroditus did beyond that, but at the very least, Epaphroditus was meeting the physical needs of Paul. And that is called the work of Christ. This is not the main point, but I think it's a point that needs to be made. The work of Christ is not just standing behind a pulpit and preaching, and it's not just witnessing. And both of those are vital. I mean, those are witnessing. That is something that every believer should do. But cleaning the restrooms, vacuuming the church carpet, you know, arranging things, keeping the building secure, all of that is part of the work of Christ, is the work of Christ just as much as what I'm doing right now. It's called the work of Christ. I think you have a vacation Bible school. That's what you're going to do. Neighborhood Bible time. And probably in neighborhood Bible time, I don't know for sure, but probably somebody is going to be doing some setup. Somebody is going to be, anybody going to be cooking or baking? You know, cooking is part of the work of Christ. If you're doing it as part of advancing God's work. So that is important. At our Bible college, we are very thankful for our cook. All the students, all the faculty and staff are very thankful for the cook and for those who clean, those who keep things in repair. Physical preparations, all of that is part of, when it's done in the ministry, is part of the work of Christ. Now, let's get back to the sacrifice issue here. Commentators believe that Epaphroditus probably got sick on the journey itself. He could have gotten sick in prison with Paul, but probably, very likely, he got sick on the journey itself from Philippi to Rome. And the evidence is that if he did get sick on that journey, he pressed on, and he finished the journey, even though he almost died doing it. And one of the reasons why I think commentators think that perhaps he got sick on the journey because the journey was a tough journey. It was very difficult. The journey was in three phases. You went by land, you walked by land, then you took a ship, and then you walked by sea. Walked by land again. You walked. So it was land, sea, land. And it was very long. The route is 621 to 780 miles. And most of that you do by walking. I should have figured out how. I was in Decatur this past Sunday. And I think Decatur to Lamont is like, it's about 2 hours, right? Isn't it about 2 hours? So, sorry. Okay, 300 plus, but that's round trip. So maybe 150 miles. So Lamont to Decatur, 150 miles. And this is about 700 miles. Most of it you're doing by walking. Now, it took at least 6 weeks under ideal conditions to make that journey. Usually, because conditions were not ideal, it took 10 to 12 weeks. You know, when I came from the Philippines here, it was like 24 hours, 26 hours. And that's a long trip, but that's not 10 to 12 weeks. What would it be like to walk for miles and miles, then take a ship, then, third part of the journey, walk another 350 miles while sick? That last part of the journey, phase three, was 350 miles. I have never in all my life walked that far or even gotten close to it. And Christian history is full of examples of Christians who have gotten sick while serving. Have you ever gotten sick or injured while serving the Lord? I think if you serve the Lord long enough, at some point you're going to get sick or you're going to get injured in the process of serving God. Now, how do we respond to that? Do we respond with, oh, boy, I got sick or I got hurt by serving God. I'm never going to do that again. Christian history is full of examples like that. Missionaries, Christians in the past, they all get sick. They all get hurt. It's part of it. You've probably heard this song. A noble army, men and boys, the matron and the maid, around the Savior's throne rejoice in robes of light arrayed. They climb the steep ascent of heaven through peril, toil, and pain. O God, to us may grace be given to follow in their train. If you are going to follow Christ and serve the Lord, it involves peril, toil, and pain. It is a sacrifice of self to be in the work of Christ. But we do that gladly. John 12:24, Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And I didn't mention the first two words. How does John 12:24 start? In Tagalog, it starts, Kototahanan, kototahanan. Truth, truth, I tell you, unless you die, you abide alone. But if you die to self, that's when you bear much fruit. You've got to die to self to serve the Lord. Sacrifice self for the work of Christ. Number three is from the description of God here. Truth number three, God is merciful to limit our sufferings and sorrow. God is merciful to limit our sufferings and sorrow. Look at verse 27. For indeed, Epaphroditus was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. So God had mercy to limit Epaphroditus' physical suffering. Verse 27b, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So God was merciful to limit Paul's emotional suffering or sorrow also. God is merciful. God had mercy on Epaphroditus physically and on Paul emotionally. God is merciful to limit our sufferings and sorrow. And I'd like to point out three truths from that, three sub-truths from that truth. Number one, God allows us to have sufferings and sorrow. If God is limiting how much sufferings and sorrow we have, obviously, God is allowing us to have sufferings and sorrow. And the sufferings and sorrows in life is part of God's plan to do us good, to mold us, to refine us. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. So afflictions are part of God's instruments for our good and God's glory. Number two, whatever sufferings and sorrows you have, it could be worse. It sounds kind of odd, isn't it? But God is merciful to limit them, right? So whatever sufferings you have or sorrows you have, realize, hey, it could be worse. It really could be. Epaphroditus could have died. You know, Paul could have been grieving to a greater degree. Number three, whatever sufferings and sorrow you have, you can be spiritually steadfast. Whatever sufferings and sorrows you have, you can be spiritually steadfast. Why? Because God is merciful to limit those. And no temptation has taken us, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. So whatever sufferings and sorrows that God has given to us, those things are not an excuse to give up, give in, abandon God, forsake church, we still can be spiritually steadfast in the midst of those sufferings and sorrows. So, think of it this way. What sufferings and sorrows do you have? Okay, think about that for a moment. What suffering do I have? What sorrow do I have? Think of it this way. When you think of those, God is being merciful to you and merciful to me. It could be worse. He's using it in our lives. And I can be spiritually steadfast in the midst of those. And lastly, number four, this is from the command to the Philippians. Honor those who sacrifice self to meet the needs of others. Honor those who sacrifice self to meet the needs of others. Verse 29, Paul's command to the Philippians, receive him or welcome him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. That means hold such in high regard. Highly esteem people like that. Honor those who sacrifice themselves to meet the needs of others. So, there are people at our Bible college, there are people at the church I pastor that really do deserve great honor because they sacrifice themselves to meet the needs of other people, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, most of all. And I'm sure in this church as well. So, those are the kinds of people that God honors. You know, you probably realize, I didn't realize it until today when I was watching the news, tomorrow is the 80th anniversary of D-Day, June 6, 1944, where thousands of men sacrificed themselves to help others, to meet the needs of other people, and provide them freedom. And they, we say, paid the ultimate sacrifice. But Jesus Christ did that to meet our greatest need, to give us the greatest freedom, spiritual freedom. And you know, as we honor those people that sacrifice themselves, we honor Christ, we can also honor, as well as God honors, those who sacrifice themselves to meet the needs of other people. And we can be the kind of person that God honors. It's not just by standing behind a pulpit and preaching. God honors you when you sacrifice yourself to meet the needs of other people. Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us in having a biblical perspective on ourselves, upon others, on needs. Help us to consider others more important than ourselves. Help us to be willing to risk our lives and give our lives for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray, help us to become more and more an honorable man, an honorable woman, an honorable boy or girl, by being one who sacrifices themselves to meet the needs of other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, if you need a prayer bulletin, if you'd lift your hand, Don is coming with those, so lift your hand nice and high.